Amen. Amen.
Can we applaud our King once again? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just thank you for reminding us. I love how she said we are to go to the Word. And that is so true. But I don't know if y'all have ever, sometimes when we read the Bible and we can kind of like see David, like they're like these superheroes. Like, and that's not true. They're real people. And God said these things are written for our learning so that we might, you know, we might have hope through the Scripture. But I love how she said, but you know, you got history with God. And that's nothing greater. There's nothing better than learning through some of your own experiences. Amen. Anybody have a history with God and seen Him make a way in your life and provide for times when you didn't think it was going to happen, and God, you saw God do it? We have to begin to keep short notes and keep short accounts and begin to chronicle how God has blessed us in our lives and provided for us. And it's so easy for us to forget. Anybody else like me? Sometimes I can complain and forget, and I can see God do something yesterday, and then tomorrow I got run into some drama, and I'm like, how in the world am I going to get through this? God got to tell me, remember yesterday. And I'm not even talking about last year. I'm talking about remember yesterday. Matter of fact, remember this morning. I woke you up this morning. I provided for you. I've given you my love and my forgiveness. My mercies are new every morning. Don't remember that even when you messed up, I didn't strike you down when you messed up. God is faithful. And He's able to do exceeding abundant above all we can ask or imagine. Do you believe that this morning? If you're at home, listen, I want you to believe that He is a way maker. He is a miracle worker. He's a promise-keeping God. He said He's not a man that He should lie, or the son of man that He change His mind. This is the problem, though. God's timing is not my timing. So He's still a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. But sometimes I want the promise kept tomorrow. Anybody like that? We live in this instant culture. We live in the fast food culture, the Burger King have it your way culture. Amen. The Instacart culture. We don't even have to wait for groceries. You don't even have to wait in line at the grocery store no more. A couple of weeks ago, it was amazing. My daughter Amira dances. And this instant culture, we were there. And now, and if you're a dance dad, you know at the end of the show, you're supposed to have flowers for your daughter. All the girls, the dads come and they bring them flowers. And I walk, and I'm driving up, I'm rushing. I say, oh, I see all the dads walking with their bouquets of flowers. I say, oh, my goodness, I forgot to get the flowers. And I'm like, I don't want to go drop y'all off and then be stuck in traffic. So I said, can we Instacart flowers to the dance, to the auditorium? And she said, boop, yep. Instacart, drop my bouquet of flowers right off at the thing. Instant, don't have to wait. So we get in that culture and we come to God that way sometimes. How many know we don't serve an Instacart God? They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings as eagles. They'll run and not get weary. They'll walk and not faint. There's some things you got to wait for. They take time. Do you know what I said? Good things come to those who wait. Some of the best things take time. They got to wait. But the thing about it, they take time for us, but God is eternal. He sits outside of time. So while I'm tracking time, God said, everything is right now to me. We got to recognize who we're coming to. Amen? He's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. He's your light in the darkness. Amen? Can we applaud our King once again? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to those who are here now. Those of you who just jumped in online, we praise God. Thank you for joining us today. We pray that your hearts are blessed or encouraged. I was just blessed last week. I don't know. We've been in this series on Proverbs. We started week one about watching your mouth. Week two on Father's Day, we talked about how being wise guys. Week three last week, Pastor Larry talked about worry, the remedy for worry. Were y'all blessed by that word last Sunday? My goodness. I was away, I was in Hilton Head in South Carolina, and my family, we were sitting there, we were watching that word. I said, man, I'm texting back. I'm trying to FaceTime the preacher right after he got out of the pulpit, like, man, what in the world was that? That was a good word last week. Amen. And I praise God for all of your prayers as we are away. I just wanted to say thank you. You know what? Last week we celebrated, my wife and I. Isn't she beautiful? 19 years. 19 years. June 28th was our anniversary. It's hard to believe that God has kept us for 19 years. Amen. We praise God. I'm getting better. I'm learning, y'all. I'm learning. My dad looked at me and said, oh, I think y'all gonna make it, son. Amen. And we praise God for just 19 years of marriage and opportunity to be away with family, to be away with her, actually my sister, my father, all of us got a chance to be away together. And it was an amazing time. So I just thank y'all for your prayers and just your support and your thoughts as we celebrated last week. Amen. This morning, we are going to continue in the book of Proverbs. If you have your Bible or if you have your tablet or whatever device you have, your phone, you could go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And in Proverbs 3, I praise God for Brother Al. Al Seward actually preached from this passage back in March, and he talked about making decisions. And we're going to look at actually the same passage, Proverbs chapter 3, two verses, very familiar verses to many of us. For some of us, it may not be so familiar, but it's Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6. And we're going to look at a topic today that I thought it was very near and dear to me, because I mentioned us in this instant culture, but we're also in this big social media culture. And those of you who are following social media a lot, you see a lot of influencers and people who look successful, and there are people who are successful. And one of the things is you've watched social media and you look at the internet and you look at television and you see all of these successful people. I know my son loves basketball. Steph Curry is one of his favorite players. And a lot of successful people, if you notice, they start doing something called master classes. Y'all ever seen a master class? Well, master class is where a person who is very successful can say, look, I'm going to teach you how to do what I do, how to be successful like I'm successful. And I looked at Steph Curry. Steph Curry, I looked online. Steph Curry has a master class. You want to be able to handle the ball. You want to be able to shoot. Like, I'm going to teach you a master class on how you can be successful. And a lot of us, whether you want to be a YouTuber, there's people who are YouTubers who have a master class, how you can increase your following online so I can teach you how to be successful. Because today, everybody, look, when you look at social media, everybody's got that image of success. So people want to know how I can be successful. And today I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to come from the topic, the secret to success. The secret to success. And first of all, we got to understand, we make sure we define success the right way. Success may not be a whole lot of money. Success may not be a whole lot of followers on social media. Success, the way God defines it, is completely different from the way the world defines it. Success is not necessarily connected to material possessions. Success is being able to live life on purpose according to the will and God, the plan God has for your life, and to have an impact and influence in that area God has placed you in. And today we're going to use this passage, and I love it. I love when you read a scripture, and it just kind of, sometimes you read a scripture, and it just pops right out. It's like the recipe just pops right out to you. There are three keys to success, the secret to success. We're going to look in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Before I do that, can you all pray with me really quickly? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, and we praise you for this opportunity. We thank you for your word. And all of us, Lord God, are in different spheres of influence. There are some here in the medical field. They're in education. There are others in engineering and business. Lord God, whatever field that people are in, there are students in the building and online right now. God, and all of us would love to be successful and figure out how we can have impact in our sphere of influence. Today, Lord God, as we come to your word, I pray that we apply the principles that you're teaching us in the word so that we can have the guidance, direction, and impact that you created us for. We praise you and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. And, of course, we'll look at some other scriptures as well. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he'll show you which path to take. Let me read it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he'll show you what path to take. I'm going to give you three keys to your success, the secret to success. Number one, he says, what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The first thing you got to do, if you want to have success, if you want to have God's guidance in your life, number one, you got to rest and rely on God. You got to rest and rely on God. The first part of the verse, we put it up there, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. What does it mean to trust in God? To trust in God means to rest in him. Psalm chapter 91 tells us, listen, that those who dwell in the secret, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. What you got to do is rest in him. To rest and rely on God, trusting in God means to rest in him. When you think about rest, that means the place where you dwell. The place where you dwell. That's how you trust in God. Say, God, I lean all of my trust in you. And what does that look like? See, a lot of us we say we want to trust God, but we really want God to give us something. We want God to do what we want him to do. And when we say trust in God with all of our heart, I just thought, I read a story about a gentleman by the name of John Kavanaugh. He was a famous ethicist many years ago, and he was just seeking meaning in life. He was trying to understand purpose in life, and like many of us want clarity. There's so many of us who are even my age who are searching God. Give me clarity. What is it I'm supposed to be doing? And this gentleman who was a famous, he was well-known, John Kavanaugh, he wanted to do to get clarity for his life. He took it upon himself to say, I'm going to go and meet Mother Teresa and to serve alongside Mother Teresa in her home for the dying. And this is what he did. He said, look, if I could go and work for 3 months to work with Mother Teresa in the house of the dying to find out how I can best use my life, how I can find purpose and meaning for my life. And he went there to work with her for 3 months. And when he met Mother Teresa, he went to her and asked her, could you pray for me? I don't know about y'all, but that's Mother Teresa's the kind of person you want to pray for you. Somebody who looked like they can get a prayer through. And so Mother Teresa said, well, what do you want me to pray for? And he said, I just want clarity. He said, I came all these thousands of miles so that God could give me clarity. Pray that I have clarity. And you know what Mother Teresa told him? She said, no, I ain't praying that. She said, no, I will not pray that. I will not do that. And he couldn't understand. He said, why? When he asked her, why wouldn't you pray for my clarity? He said, clarity, this is what she told him. She said, clarity is the last thing you're clinging to and must let go of. And then when he looked at her, he said, but it seems like you have so much clarity in your work and what you're doing. She looked at him and laughed. She said, listen, I've never had clarity. The only thing that I've had is trust. She said, what I will pray is that you'll trust God. See what he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Mother Teresa said, I never had clarity. So many of us are running through and say, God, give me clarity. And he said, no, it's not about clarity. It's about just putting your trust in me with everything you have. And he said, listen, and then I'll order your step as you trust me. Rest and rely on me. Stop seeking clarity. Stop seeking success. Just seek to listen, rest in me. Rely on me. What does it look like when I rely on you? I love it. Pastor Page said it last week. Look, where our cry is, who we cry to when we worry tells us a lot where our trust lies. When in your life, when resting in God means, God, I go to you first. Do you abide in him? Abide in him. Rest in him. That place, let that be your dwelling place. If you want to have success, it starts. Success starts with trusting in the Lord with all of your heart, all your being. What it is, you got to rest and rely on God. point number one. You want success? The question is, are you resting in God? I know today many of us are restless. We're restless because sometimes when you rest in God, God doesn't, like I said earlier, he may not move as fast as I move or I'd like him to move. So we rest in God. We say, okay, God, I'm going to rest in you, and then I'm going to try this and see if it works. God said, no, it ain't about trying. You just let go. She said, you got to let go. She said, clarity is something that you got to let go of and trust me. Today, are you trusting God with everything within you? Are you resting in him? And is he your source? Are you, is that what you rely on? Or do you go to your own resources to try to meet a need? Sometimes we rest in God for a moment, and then when he doesn't move, we go back and try, like I say it all the time, we try to manufacture a miracle, manipulate the situation, and then try to put God's name on it. He said, no, I ain't do that. That was you. Trust me. Be still and know that he is God. If you want true success in life, if you want true God's true direction, it requires, number one, that you rest and rely on God. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And listen, in order for you to trust in somebody like that, you don't automatically do that. You don't automatically do that. I never forget. I remember I asked, I won't do it now, but years ago I had Al come up here and we did the trust fall. And I said, Al, I want you to come up and stand behind me, and I'm going to fall backwards and I'm going to fall straight backwards and you catch me. And Al caught me and I was able to do that. Why? Because I've known Al since I was 4 years old. We have a relationship. I know Al. As much as we clown each other, up here, he ain't going to let me fall and hit my head on this floor. I was able to trust that I fall back, he's going to catch me. Why? Because I know Al, he knows me, and he's got my best interest at heart. It's hard to trust somebody that you ain't spend much time with. I told you, when you trust God, it means resting. That means you got to begin to spend time with God. Church, this morning, how much time do you spend in his presence? Or is it just like I said earlier, in this Instacart age, do you try to get your fill of God in an instant? No, you got to rest. You got to spend time with him. Begin to sit at his feet. And the more you sit at his feet, you begin to understand his nature, and you begin to understand his ways, and then you get history with God, as Darian said earlier. And when you get history with God, I've seen him do it before. I know he'll do it again, and then I can trust him. Trust God. Rest in him. Rely on him. But in order for you to do that, you got to begin to spend time in his presence. And today, that's one of the things. You know what that is? That's worship. Take us back, Lord, to the heart of worship. So often we're moving, and we're trying to get our word on Sunday. God wants you to listen. This is a word for the day, but you got to go on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, or afternoon. You got to spend time sitting at the feet of Jesus and allowing him to minister to you so you can understand his nature and his ways. Go to his word and begin to spend time in worship so that you can begin to understand and trust him so you can rest and rely on him. Step number one, secret to success, rest and rely on God. Number two, in order for you to have the success that God and the impact you need and the direction that you want from God, that you need from God, number two, you must relinquish your will. You must relinquish your will. Look at it right here. He says, trust it. I love when I look at a passage and it's like one, two, three. I'm a steps person. Anybody else a steps person? I love when I look at the scripture and the steps are right there. Okay, God, I can do that. I'm one of those people. If you give me some instructions, I can follow that. But if it's all over the place, it's hard for me. God in his word, he puts it right here. He said, number one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Two, lean not on your own understanding. What does that mean? You got to relinquish your will. You got to relinquish your will. Listen, let me ask you, have any of you ever gone ziplining before? Anybody been ziplining? Listen, so ziplining, I was watching this funny video of a guy ziplining, but one of the things that ziplining you do, they strap you up to this thing, and it's to get that rush to fly down that line, whether you're over the water or whether you're over some land. If you don't know what ziplining is, you got this little harness, and you're strapped, and there's a
it looked like a string,
but it's a rope that's hooked to this pulley, and when you what you got to do in order for you get the rush and experience to fly off from one side of the water to the other, or one side of the place to the other, what you got to do, they tell you, you got to lean back and you got to what? Lift up your feet. And I was watching this one guy. He was trying to go, but he could not lift them knees up. He could have. They said, okay, 1, 2, 3, go. And he sit down, but he wasn't going to take his feet off the ground. Do y'all think he went anywhere? Nowhere. Why? Because he was still leaning on his own weight. And God is saying, look, until you're ready to lean back on me and then lift up your feet, listen, lift up and stop taking control, you'll never progress. You'll never have the success that I designed for you. You'll never walk in what I've got for you. Look, brother, you got to relinquish your will. Today, listen, what God is telling you, you got to let go. You got to let go. I was reading a story of a man who fell. He was mountain climbing, and he fell off. He was holding on, and he fell. And right before, while he was dropping, there was a branch that was jumping out, that was jetting out of the side of the mountain, and he grabbed a hold. And he was holding on for dear life, and he yelled, help, is anybody up there? And somebody said, yes. And he said, listen, who is it? And the boy said, God. And he said, listen, will you help me? What do I need to do? And God said, let go. And the man said, help, is anybody else up there? Why? Because he said, look, I don't want to relinquish. I don't want to let this go. And today God said, I got something for you. But in order for you to get what I have for you, you got to let go of what you got. Stop leaning on your own understanding. The Bible, if you look, he said, look, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. There's a way that appears to be right. In our culture, there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. You got to relinquish your will and your desires. You got to trust in God and give up your stuff. That's so hard for us to do. It's so difficult for us to do. For somebody who's watching me today and you're single, and you say, listen, God, I want a mate. I want you to bring me a husband or a wife. And God is telling, look, I don't want you to be unequally yoked with anybody. Y'all got to be a lot. How can two walk together unless they agree? And then God brings this fine sister, this fine brother your way, and they got a completely different agenda. But they seem to be nice. They treat you nice. And you know, but my will is I'd love to be married. I'd love to have a spouse. And God said, listen, I understand what your desire is and what your will is, but my will is that, unless two walk together, unless they agree, I don't want you to be unequally yoked. And you say, look, I'm going to compromise. They're a good person, and maybe if I love them and treat them and share the good news, they'll come to know the Savior too. We used to call it missionary dating back in the day. And there are a lot of people, I've seen it happen where somebody made that decision, and praise God, because of his mercy, that other person who did not know Christ came to Christ. But in most cases, what ends up happening is not a pretty picture. Because what you were unable to do is relinquish your will. He said, wait on me. Wait for me to provide. And God is taking too long. So what do you do? Listen, I'm not ready to relinquish my will. So I'm going to step out there and lean on my own understanding. Whenever we lean on our own understanding, we crash. We crash. It just reminds me of John F. Kennedy Jr. several years ago, John F. Kennedy Jr., many of you know the story of how he crashed his plane. He was flying and he crashed his plane. And when you go back and read the story of what happened, it says the reason why his plane crashed is because he was not reading the instruments and he was trying to fly by feel. And what happens is, when you're flying a plane, you can very easily get disoriented. And it said he stopped reading the instruments, and he started doing what's something called flying by the seat of his pants.
It's literally a term, flying by the feel of the way it is, feeling in the cockpit. And what he was doing, when he thought he was flying straight down. And the reason why he was flying straight down is because he ignored the instruments on the panel. He wasn't able to relinquish his will. He flew by what he felt was right instead of reading the instruments. And I'm here to tell you, when you don't relinquish your will and you start flying by what your own feel instead of the instrument of God's word. He was flying and he could have sworn he's flying straight, but he didn't know what he was flying straight down. And there's so many people who crash because you're not willing to relinquish your will. Because you're leaning on, what he was doing, he was leaning on his own understanding. I'm an experienced pilot. I've been doing this for a minute. And he had no idea that he was going straight to his death. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in death. If you want to be successful, you must rest and rely on God. And when you rest and rely on God, what that means is you got to relinquish your will. And the reason why, look, and it's hard for us to relinquish our will. And you know why it's so hard for us to relinquish our will sometimes? Because sometimes we're not sure that what God wants for me is better than what I want for me. We're not certain. God, that's why if I truly believed that he works all things together for the good of them who love him, and who are called according to his purpose. If I truly believe that he gives us all things richly to enjoy, if I truly believe that he wants me to walk in abundance and that he's got my best interest at heart, then why is it that I'm so reticent to relinquish my will? It's because truly in our hearts sometimes we really believe that our will is more attractive than God's. When I really begin to understand that he is a way maker, he is a miracle worker, he is the promise keeper, and that he promises to work everything for my good, that he promises that I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. He promised, listen, he has good and perfect promises. He said, listen, I got plans for you that are for good and not for evil, to give you future and hope. If I truly believe that, God, you can take my stuff. Give me what you got. Because what you got is better because you own a cattle on 1,000 hills. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all I ask or imagine. If you're the God who can speak the stars in space and create the beauty of creation. As I was at the beach and I looked at the ocean and I saw what was going on in the ocean and I looked at the sky and we were driving along and I see the alligators walking. I said, God, you did all that by a word. Look at your creative genius. And you did all of creation to sustain my well-being so that I might be in relationship with you. God, how dare I not relinquish my will to yours. His will is better. His will is better. You got to believe that. And sometimes we'll never experience it. There's things you'll never experience till you let go. Till you let go. The zipliner never can experience the exhilarating feeling of flying over the water until he leans back and picks up his legs and let go. And God is saying, until you relinquish your will, you'll never experience the exhilarating purpose and plan that I've got for your life. There's nothing better than being in the center of his will and watching God do a great thing. And when you're there, you know what it does? It draws people to him because we're here for his glory. The secret to success, number one, you must rest and rely on God. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, not some of it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That means you got to rest in him, abide in him, rely on him. What does that look like? You cry out to him in your time of need. That's the first place you go. And then relinquish your will. Lean not on your own understanding. Stop flying by the seat of your pants. Lean back and let go. But not only that, he says, if we look at the verse, in all your ways, acknowledge him. The third key is you got to run after His glory. Run after His glory. You got to rest and rely on Him. Relinquish your will and then what? Run after His glory. It says, seek His will in all you do. And when you rest in Him, now He says, proactively pursue Him. Are you a God chaser? Run after His glory, meaning that everything I do, the Word of God says, whether I eat, whether I drink, whatever I do all for the glory of God. My motivation in anything, whether I'm playing basketball, whether I'm doing surgery, whether I'm doing someone's taxes, is that God be glorified. I seek His will in everything I do. Run after His glory. You know, too often we don't think like that. When I go and do my job, God has convicted me, sometimes because I can go to work and I can be on my job and all I'm doing is I'm biding time. I'm just there for my 8 hours. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I get my check in 2 weeks. God said, no, run after my glory. On your job, seek His will in everything you do. You want to be successful. Look, stop looking for the next big thing. Just run after my glory right there on your job. Do whatever you do, or do you have me in mind? Do you have my glory in mind? Y'all, that's a convicting thing. Because I know a lot of times when I do stuff, I'm just doing it. Anybody with me? I'm doing it. I'm not even thinking, how does this glorify God in this moment? He said, I love it. He says, look, seek His will. Put that verse up there. Seek His will in what? Some of the stuff you do? Everything. Seek His will in all you. I love I think it's the King James says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. In everything that I do, I think about you. 1 Corinthians, I said, 10:31, whether you eat, drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Matthew 6:33, what does it say? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He'll guide you in everything you do. God is saying, look, you want to be successful. So many, like you said, John Kavanaugh, I want clarity. God, I need direction in my life. He said, look, it's very simple. You want to be successful in life. Look, all you got to do is rest and rely on me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't worry about everything. If you trust in the Lord with all of your heart, then He said, relinquish your will. Lean not on your own understanding. Let go and let God. And then He said, listen, run after my glory in all your ways. Seek my will in all you do. I love it. He said, the success takes care of itself. My God. He said, this is the recipe. One, rest and rely on me. Two, relinquish your will. Three, run after my glory. And then He said, what? And guess what? And I will show you what path to take. I will direct your path. The success is a byproduct of running after me. The success is a byproduct of resting in me. The success is a byproduct of relinquishing your will to me. And listen, I am duty bound to give your way success. Why? Because my name is attached to it. I get glory out of it. When the world sees you walking in His purpose, then you know what? What is going on? All I do is point to Him for your glory. I will do anything. God said, listen, He's duty bound to give your way success. He's duty bound to guide your path when you follow the secrets to success. So today, like Mother Teresa said, no, I ain't praying for clarity for you. Mother Teresa said, I ain't never had clarity. I don't know. All I do is trust God. I trust. And she said, as you see the light, walk in it. As you see the light, I don't have clarity. I don't know what's happening. When the children of Israel got to the Jordan, it wasn't already divided. The people had to step in and then the water separate. He said, well, all you got to do, I'm not going to pray for clarity. Just trust me. When you trust me, I'm going to make a way out of no way. That's why Job said, listen, that's why, and when you trust God, Sometimes he's going to take you to places that are uncomfortable. Sometimes he's going to take you to places you wouldn't have gone for yourself. But that's why Job said, listen, I trust God and my children are gone. I trust God and all my stuff is gone. I trust God and my health is gone. And his response is, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Because I know your nature, God. And I know you got good plans for me. So I know that weeping might endure for a night. But joy is coming in the morning because you promised it to me. Those who trust him, he said, listen, I will show you what path to take. You want to be successful today. This is the master class. The master's class. All he said is, listen, you just trust me. Rest and rely on me. Abide in me. And in order for you to do that, you're going to have to spend some time with him, y'all. You're going to have to, at home, you're going to have to spend some time with him. It can't be like an Instacart type of relationship. You're going to have to sit at his feet. It ain't Instacart. You want, and look, it ain't even like now we got self-checkout. No, you got to stand in line. And you got to put all the groceries, you're going to have to wait your turn. You're going to have to sit at his feet. And listen, and to listen to what God has to say to you. What I'm going to say this when, as I go, when we're talking about spending time with God, and spending time with God is not you going and talking. God convicted me, Dwayne, you talk too much when you come into me. I have to say, oh, I'm pray, God, praise your name. I'm praying. He said, listen, I love Mercy Me has this song because word of God speak. Would you pour down like rain? Washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please help me stay at rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Sometimes, and the song goes and says, finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. See, God has wanted us to get into resting in him. Sometimes I just need to sit and be quiet and hear what God has to say to me. Yes, you talk to him, but sit at his feet, rest in him. Get comfortable. The reason why we kind of move so fast because it's hard to rest, because being rest requires being still. And sometimes when I'm still, I'm not comfortable with what's in here. God said, you got to sit still so I can begin to transform you and change you, renew your mind. And then when you rest and you get to understand his nature and understand his ways, and then you're more ready to relinquish your will, to not lean on your own understanding. Don't fly by the seat of your pants. Acknowledge him. Seek after him in everything you do and watch he can give your way success. He'll guide your steps. Anybody want that this morning? Anybody want that this morning? Somebody today looking for clarity. Somebody today said, listen, I want to be successful in an area God has called me in. I love, the reason why I love this formula, this recipe for success, because it transcends industries. It don't matter what industry you're in. It don't matter whether you're a doctor, lawyer, teacher, barber. It doesn't matter what you're in. Whatever you do this, guess what? He will give your way success. He promises to do it. I dare you to try it. I dare you to try it. Wait on the Lord. Watch him do amazing things in your life. Amen? Can you all stand with me this morning? The secret to success, and I praise God that it ain't really a secret. He ain't trying to hide it from you. He's not trying to hide it from you. He wants you to have it because you know why? When you get it, when his people have it, he gets all the glory. And he's calling somebody today who's listening, who's been, you like John Kavanaugh, you've been praying for clarity. God, give me clarity. And today God convicted you. Lord, help me not ask for clarity. Just teach me to trust you right where I am. Teach me to trust you right where I am. And then as I see the light, I walk in it. God has convicted somebody that you need to begin to rest and rely on God, to trust God. God's convicted somebody else. God, I'm like that man. I'm holding on to that branch, and you're saying, relinquish your will to me, let go, and I'm too scared to let go. God may have convicted somebody that you need to relinquish your will to me. Trust that my will for you is better than your will for yourself. And then finally,
God is telling somebody else, you know what? On your job, in your school, run after my glory. Let my glory be your motivation for everything that you do. If I haven't been doing that, God is saying, I want to bring about that change today. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to pray for somebody this morning. Say, God, you convicted me. I want to recommit myself to trusting and relying on you. I want to recommit myself to giving over my will to you. I want to commit myself to making sure that I'm motivated by giving you glory. I want to pray with you today. You might say, I've accepted Christ as Savior and Lord, but God has convicted me. I really haven't been trusting him like I should. Today I want to recommit my life to you, God, to trust you in every aspect of my life. If that's you today, you say, God, listen, I got some areas of my life that I haven't been relinquishing over to you. Today I'm ready to give it to you. Can I pray for you? Would you pop your hand up if that's you? If you're at home, you said, listen, I got some areas of my life that I haven't been trusting God. I've been holding on to my will. God said, today I'm relinquishing my will. I'm leaning back on you and letting go, trusting that your will for me is better than my will for myself. Anybody want somebody to pray for me to pray for you today? I see that hand. If you're at home and you're in need of prayer, look, I want to pop this up on the screen. If you're at home and you're in need of prayer, I want you to go to that website that you see on the screen, encounterchurch.net/next. encounterchurch.net/next. If you go there, look, that shall take you to our Connect form. And on that form, you can indicate, Pastor, I need prayer. I recommit myself to God. I recommit myself to trusting and relying on him. I recommit myself to running after his glory. If that's you online, please go right to that site that you'll see right there on your screen, encounterchurch.net/next, so that we can connect and pray with you and for you. Anyone else here in the building, say, Pastor, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? I see that hand. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we pray for those here in the building and at home. God, I'm joining. My hand is raised because, God, so often I run after success in the different areas of my life. And we're looking at all the master classes and how I could be a better this and a better that. And, Lord, we come to sit in your master class, at the master's class, and understand you're calling us to trust you with all of our heart, to relinquish our will to you, and to run after your glory like never before. For God, I join my brothers and sisters with our hands raised and say, forgive us, God. Forgive us, Lord, when we've put our will in front of yours. When we've made our will an idol and worshiped that instead of you. Forgive us, God. And today, I come with my brothers and sisters to say we recommit ourselves to running after you, Lord. We recommit ourselves to trusting you. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I've come with my brothers and sisters online to recommit ourselves to walking with you, to running after your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Finally, if you're here in the building, if you're at home, and God, listen, we talked about running after his glory, and he made you. He made us for his glory. But in order for him to get glory out of us, we have to be in right relationship with him. And in order for that to happen, you must have all of your sins forgiven. And because all of us are imperfect, God wants a relationship with you. I told you, he wants you to rest and rely on him. And that requires relationship. That requires intimacy. But that none of us can have that intimacy like we are because we're born in sin and God is perfect. And that perfect God could never come in close contact with sin because God said he is light and in him there is no darkness. No darkness at all. So in order to remedy that, he sent his son Jesus Christ. God gave a gift of himself. He became flesh, a perfect one, never sinned, came to qualify his own justice. What is his justice? His justice is without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness of sin. So God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the sacrifice to pay for your sins and mine. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And look, in order for you to receive that everlasting life, Romans says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Today, if you want a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, and you want to admit to God that you are a sinner separated from him, I invite you into relationship. If you would pray this prayer right after me, listen, if you pray this prayer of invitation, what it says, if you mean it from the bottom of your heart, he will say, listen, I will forgive you of all of your sins. I'll give you eternal life, and you'll never perish. This prayer simply says this, dear God, thank you for loving me just like I am. Just repeat it after me silently if you want this relationship. Just say, dear God, thank you for loving me just like I am. I admit that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe he was buried and rose again. Today I invite him into my heart, into my life, to forgive me of every sin, past, present, and future, to make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, that website is on the screen. I want you to go right to that site, encounterchurch.net/next. And on there, on that form, it says, listen, I accepted Christ today. If you invited Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, we want to show you what steps you need to take next. You can also text the word next to 301-804-2520. And we can show you what steps you need to take next in your walk with God to show you how you can trust and rely on him. Amen? Amen. Can we give our God a hand praise this morning? You may have your seat. You may have your seat. Amen. This morning, it's the first Sunday of July. Amen? And we are preparing tomorrow to celebrate Independence Day. Amen? And what we're going to do this morning is to celebrate our independence in Christ by the observance of communion. And I think, I don't know if everybody, if you have, we're going to get cups to you right now. Amen. You are at home, we invite you, if you are a follower of Christ, to join us as we remember what Christ has done to set us free from sin. I'm going to just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. It says, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This time you may partake of the wafer which represents the broken body of our Savior. Verse 25 goes on to say, in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat the bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes. You can partake of the cup. Amen. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. Amen. Are you grateful for the gift, for the freedom in Christ that we have? We praise God for it. Amen. Amen. Before we get ready to close, we want to have our time of giving. online. There's a way you can see the ways to give right there online on the screen. You can text to give. You can use Cash App, the $ Encounter Life. You can go right to our website, encounterchurch.net, and hit give. Or you can give the traditional way here. There's some of you who are online say, I still give the traditional way. You want to mail your check in. You can see where you can mail it in. I praise God for some of you who are at home, been watching online. There are some folks who bring their check to the church. I would just praise God for you continuing to give to what God's work is. Amen. Giving is an important thing. Next week in Proverbs, we're going to talk about how giving and how it affects our finances as well. Amen? Amen. I'm going to give you an opportunity to give, and then I'll be right back up. Praise God. We are blessed. Amen? Amen. We're getting ready to close, but before we do, we have something very, very, very special that we're going to do this first Sunday. One of you, those of you who know the Washington Christian Center, Encounter Life Church, one of our foundations of where we started is the importance of children and the family. Amen? And so what we do, we praise God for whenever parents come and they say, listen, God has blessed them with children, that we want to dedicate those children to God. So today, before we close, we have a very, very special thing we're going to do. We have a young man who is going to be dedicated to the Lord today. Can young Aaron come up here this morning and the Nutt family? Amen. I'm going to ask y'all to come on up here so they can come up so I can see. Amen. So I can, and y'all can stand up front and center so everyone can see y'all. Amen. And any family members that you want to join you today? Amen. Praise God. Amen. His auntie's coming up. We as the body of Christ, we stand with you. We pray those who are unable to be here can watch at home as this young man is dedicated. We praise God. Can we give God a hand praise? This is an amazing picture. Amen. And I praise God for this family that is here today. So those of you who don't know, David and Joy, this is an amazing family with their young children that they have. And it's just a picture that what God wants to happen. We praise God. To my right, your left, are the grandparents, Brother William and Sister Pam Nutt. And they came here at what age? 16 and 17 years old. William and Pam came to this church, and they got married. And God has called them, the Bible says, to raise up our children and nurture and admonition of the Lord. And they raised up their family. And we praise God that their son is here today, David. And Joy, you were here at how old? Birth. Joy was born here. Her mother, Sister Arlene, and father, Andy, but you all know who Andy was, on the elder here for many years. And we just praise God that the generation to come might set their hope in God. And what you see is right here, 1, 2, 3 generations, and we praise God for his faithfulness. And so we just want to honor him as they come to dedicate young Aaron to the Lord. Amen? Let us hear the word of the Lord as it comes to us in Deuteronomy 6 and 7. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. This is the commandment of God, that we should diligently rear our children in our most holy faith. In obedience to this command, these parents bring young Aaron James Nutt today to present him to the Lord. The precedent for the ceremony of baby dedication may be found in Scripture, as in the presentation of Samuel by Hannah and of Jesus by Mary and Joseph. Paul reminded Timothy that from a child he had known the sacred Scriptures. Jesus considered the little ones infinitely precious, and he said, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." The purpose of baby dedication is to really to be found in the purpose of the parents. Rightly understood, the ceremony is one of parental dedication as well as child dedication. And these parents are publicly pledging themselves to obey the command of Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Don't provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. This ceremony is meaningless unless the parents dedicate themselves as well as their child to God. Do not provoke children to anger includes building up a child's positive self-image. Bringing them up, this word also includes nourish and nurture. Discipline, this also includes instruction and spiritual guidance. And instruction, this word includes warnings and encouragement. At this time, we have a covenant for the parents, David and Joy. If it be your intention to present your child to the Lord and to pledge yourselves to bring him up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, please answer, "We do," to the following promises. Do you hear this day recognize your child as the gift of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessing? Do you hear this day dedicate your child to the Lord who gave him? Do you hear this day pledge his parents that you will bring him up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? Do you hear this day promise to give your child every possible benefit of home, of education, and of the church? And do you hear this day ask God's blessing upon your child's life to guide, to guard, and direct him through all of his years? Amen. And for the congregation and for the family here, you can answer, "We do," to this. Will you, the members of this congregation and family, be faithful to your calling as members of the body of Christ so that this young man and all the other children in your midst may grow up in the knowledge and love of him? If so, answer, "We do." Amen. Amen. Praise God. Can I? Hey, praise God. Could y'all extend your hand to the family and to Aaron as we ask God's blessing over him? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for children. We thank you for this family. And we thank you, Lord God, for the legacy that is represented here, 3 generations. And we thank you that your word never returns void. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for William and Pam as grandparents, that, Lord God, you will continue to infuse them with your power as they continue to pour into their children and grandchildren. And I pray for David and Joy. I thank you for their commitment to raise up their 3 children in the nurture and instruction of the Lord. I pray that, Lord, you'll provide for them supernaturally. Thank you, Lord God, for their trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for their commitment to raise up this young family, Lord, in your word. And we pray, Lord, for Aaron. I pray now, God, that, Lord, you will make him a mighty warrior for you. I come, Lord God, and ask that, Lord, you speak to him as you spoke to Samuel.
And that at an early age, he'll say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I pray that, Lord, you'll cause him to grow up to do great work for your kingdom. Turn his heart towards you early. I pray that for all of their children. I pray that as you, Lord God, as they grow, that you will give them the wisdom to know what's right and the courage to do what's right, even when it's difficult. We pray that for their parents and family as well. And as a church body, help us to be consistent, to provide an atmosphere and an environment for that will foster their growth in their family. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Y'all can stay here. Can we all stand together as we get ready to close? We thank you for joining us today in-house and at home. We pray that you enjoy your Independence Day, and as you enjoy your independence, you grill, you cook out, whatever you do, that you celebrate and remember the independence that you have in Christ. Amen? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that now, Lord God, that as we leave this place but not your presence, that we apply it and we see it bring forth fruit in our lives. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Amen?